Let's Talk Sales. This is the podcast for anyone who's interested in growing sales. Let's Talk Sales is brought to you by Calavia, the sales playbook platform made for your team by your team. The Calavia sales playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes. It also functions as an online sales training academy for your existing team and new hires. Learn more at calavia.com. That's C-O-L-L-A-V-I-A.com, Calavia. Each month on the Criteria for Success blog, we pick a monthly theme and write about it from different perspectives. We wanted to bring that kind of a discussion to this podcast as well. And so each month we'll be having a CFS Talk Sales roundtable discussion about something that's related to the month's theme. In November, we've been writing about client relationships on the blog. So this first roundtable discussion is about building stronger relationships. This is Elizabeth Frederick. I'm the operations officer at Criteria for Success. And with me today, I have our director of marketing, Rebecca Smith. You hear from her just about every week on the podcast. I have our CEO, Charles Bernard, and you might have heard him in episode 2, where he talked about the ebook he recently wrote on making client relationships work. And we are also having Ariana Miskell, who's making her debut on today's show. She is our marketing and sales coordinator. So thanks so much, guys, for being with me today. You'll be able to find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod4. So to start this discussion, I wanted to start with a really simple question. What does building stronger relationships mean to you? Rebecca, what do you think of when you hear building stronger relationships?
That's a great question, Elizabeth, and thank you for having me on the show today. This is very exciting to be with our team talking about making client relationships work. So what I think is very important when it comes to building stronger relationships is time. I think that spending quality time getting to know people, especially in business, beyond just the what do you do 30-second commercial, is a very important aspect of building strong relationships. So taking the time to get to know the people around you, outside of work, inside of work, in all capacities.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rebecca, that a lot of the best practices for building strong relationships within a business context also apply within a personal context as well. Charles, what about you? What do you think of when you hear building stronger relationships?
Well, thanks for the question, and thanks for putting this podcast together, Elizabeth. I think that being committed to the other person, fundamentally, is probably the thing I think about the most when I think about building stronger relationships. Something someone told me years ago that I've never forgotten, and that is to be interesting, be interested. And I really like that. The other thing I heard in the past, and I've also found it something that stuck with me too, is, you know, when you think about a relationship and there's two people in a relationship, you might ask each person, so what percentage of the success of the relationship are you responsible for? And you mm-hmm. might think your typical answer would be 50-50, right? Yeah. I own 50 and you own 50. And when I had that conversation once, someone said it's actually not true. It's 100-100. I own 100% of the success and the other person owns 100% of the success. So I think those three things really help build a very strong relationship.
That's great. Thanks, Charles. Ariana, what about you?
So I guess you could say mine is sort of the precursor for both of their responses. Before time and before you get to the numbers, I would say that for me, the strongest part of building strong relationships is being willing to build relationships with anyone, no matter what you think you're going to get out of it, because you never know what you could get out of a relationship with pretty much anyone that you meet. So I think it's just being open-minded to, you know, being a good networker for anyone that you meet.
That's great. I think it's funny that we all come at this from different places. When I thought about building stronger relationships, I really thought about the fact that we don't know the strength of a relationship until it's tested. And so often it's only by going through problems and difficulties that you find that you have a relationship with somebody. So again, whether it's in a personal context or in a professional context. For example, let's say you miss a meeting or you're showing up late to a meeting. or you miss an expectation where somebody expected a deliverable that you weren't able to provide or didn't necessarily meet the expectations they had. It's only through going through that situation and seeing how each of you responds that you begin to see the strength of your relationship. And you can build, a lot of times, great relationships on problems and challenges.
Definitely. That's like a great point, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I like that too. Like, you know, when things are going great, it's easy to have a great relationship. But how you deal with adversity, I think, really does test the bond that you have. I really like that a lot. Yeah, that's cool.
Definitely. At CFS, we like to tell a lot of stories. We find that features tell and stories sell. And stories are just a great way to connect with people and to understand difficult concepts or complicated concepts. Sometimes you can tell a simple story and your concept can be clear. So who'd like to share a story about building stronger relationships, an example of where you might have used that or how that's worked for you?
I'll go first.
Thanks, Ariana.
So my story stems from my experience working at CFS, and this was my first major sales position, I'd say, after graduating college. And one of the most important things I learned is that relationships make selling a whole lot easier. And one of our best practices is referral-based selling and you know, using your network to kind of leverage sales in an easier way for you and your company. And so for me, it kind of taught me that, as I said earlier, any relationship could be a next big sale for you. So it's important to stay in touch and nurture.
Do you have an example?
An example would be our snossage process that we do. I don't know if we have the time to get into that. That could be another podcast.
Absolutely.
That would definitely be an example.
I love it.
Yeah, and for listeners who might be a little confused about that, that's a really simple process. We actually wrote an ebook about it, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes, about using LinkedIn and working to leverage those LinkedIn relationships to get referrals. And so that's something that we'll definitely share in the show notes because it is a fascinating process. The reason behind the name Snossage is a little bit of an inside joke between Rebecca and Charles. Thanks so much, Ariana. Does anybody else have a story about building stronger relationships?
Sure. I'd love to share. This is Rebecca. And I want to tell a story that is happened very, very recently for us here at CFS. Both Charles and I and Elizabeth, we do a lot of speaking, both internally and with the clients that we work for, but also at conferences, networking events, and other places where people like to talk sales. So a lot of what we do is out there in the world talking about sales ideas and things of that nature, and we don't always get an opportunity to meet the organizer of an event beforehand. Sometimes we don't meet them until 20 minutes before we're about to step on stage. And it just so happened that Charles was invited to speak for a local networking group here in Manhattan called C-Connect. And one of the members, one of the members at the group, he and I met at a different training class and kept in touch and really stayed on each other. We were accountable to each other on about LinkedIn. And so when he provided this opportunity for Charles to come speak, he also invited me to come to the group beforehand, before the scheduled talk. So I decided to go and I got to know some really, really awesome people. And I actually went 2 months in a row before the third month, which was when Charles spoke. So by the time that Charles spoke to the group, I had an opportunity to get to know the people in the group and get to build relationships. And a couple of the people from that group you're actually going to hear on this podcast series.
Oh, wow.
So that's a very exciting thing. So keep an ear out for that. But what it taught me was how valuable that relationship building process is. And it helped a lot when the talk came around because everybody felt comfortable interacting and they felt comfortable answering questions because they kind of knew who we were a little bit more than typical situation. So that's my example about my story about building stronger relationships. If and whenever you have an opportunity to build that relationship before you get to a point of interaction, like this, take it.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. And I think we can apply that in a lot of different situations about nurturing relationships and starting to build small pieces of a relationship before you get to maybe that big experience that you're trying to have with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What about you, Charles?
Well, first of all, now I know why that event, that speaking engagement went so well. So thanks for that, Rebecca. My story is something that a relationship that I had many years ago with someone who was actually a client. And normally I would advise us in sales to focus on building a client's career. In fact, my regional manager used to say, you're not salespeople, you're career builders. Mm-hmm. And his obvious point, I think, was that we shouldn't focus on just getting business, but we should focus on making our clients look good. So my story is that actually the client that I worked with, he was at Mobil Oil. His name was Irv Kay, and he was the executive vice president in the sales and supply division, actually made my career.
Oh, wow.
And I, at the time, was working at Mobil as a systems analyst. I wasn't even a salesperson. And fast forward, long story short, he gave me an opportunity to pitch to him and his executive team a really large project for GE. And we won it. We won that project. And when it came time for him to decide who at GE he wanted to be his account executive, he was very clear and very determined and very stubborn, because I had declined originally, but he said to my executive team at GE that he wanted me to be his account executive, that he wanted me to be the day-to-day contact, and he wanted me to run the project. And initially I said, well, I don't know anything about sales, because this is a sales position that you're asking me to step into. I'm a technician. I mean, I do coding and developing projects and software and that kind of stuff. And he said, well, you're the reason why I awarded the project to your company. And he really did go out of his way to help me make sure that I did the very best and the rest of my team did the very best to make this a success. So I would say it was a true collaboration, and never forgotten. And the relationship I had with him, I'm really grateful for the opportunity he gave me.
Yeah, it sounds like really he might be saw potential in you that you didn't see in yourself. And so you were both contributing to the relationship, but really through the mentoring that he provided you and the leadership roles and opportunities he gave you, you were able to build your own career. That's amazing.
That's a great word, mentoring. I think that's it. I think that's what it was. It came down to him being a natural mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really unique and important kind of relationship. And I think in our careers, we should really look for opportunities to provide mentoring to other people, especially people who are different from us, because a lot of times we mentor people who look like us and sound like us. And it's easy to form relationships with people like you, but it's really important to break out of that and form relationships with different people.
Definitely.
My story about building client relationships is a little bit different. Building stronger relationships, I actually went more in a client direction. And when I was thinking about building relationships, I thought about a problem that we had been encountering in some of our client engagements. At Criteria for Success, we often work with our clients over long-term engagements. We might be working with them for 6 to 12 months or even longer. And with some clients, we were having difficulty staying in touch, especially with leadership. We have busy schedules and they have busy schedules. And sometimes it was difficult to stay on top of what's going on with the project, what are their goals, their priorities, what's working, what's not working, how are things going? And sometimes we felt like we were getting a little out of sync. And so we implemented a really simple process of having a weekly or a monthly or biweekly call with each client to make sure that regardless of the level of engagement that's happening through other initiatives, we're still staying in touch very consistently with each client. And it's amazing the things we hear about. We get to know people better personally. Mm-hmm. If you're talking to somebody every week, eventually you start talking about things that aren't the project. And it's a great way to connect better with clients and really build those strong relationships.
Yeah, it's really made a difference. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully some of those stories were helpful to you guys and you got some ideas about how you might think about building stronger relationships within your personal and professional lives. Lastly, I want to talk about taking action. At Criteria for Success, we are all about giving people really actionable advice that they can apply in their lives. We want this podcast to be something that you take and you build on, and you make significant changes to grow sales for yourself and your organization. So I'd like each person here to share something that people can apply today in their lives to build stronger relationships. So let's start with you, Charles. What do you think people can apply today?
I think give to get is something that is fundamentally important. You know, we think about taking away from a relationship, but if you give, it comes back in spades.
Absolutely. And that's a great philosophy and a great mindset to take when you approach a relationship, is really thinking, what can I give and contribute to people, as opposed to what can I get out of this person? That's great. Rebecca, what about you?
Sure. I think that it's all about being genuine. Be yourself, but also don't allow that to let you act like a jerk okay. in certain situations, because that is too easy when something doesn't go your way or you don't like something about somebody, maybe perhaps that you're networking. Don't be mean to somebody that you just met, because you never know where that relationship may go. You never know where it's going to go. So my advice is be genuine, but don't be a jerk.
Definitely.
That's important. And that's a fine line. A lot of times people think that the way to be genuine is you open up and maybe you share things. And it's easy to connect with people by bashing somebody else. And that's never a great way to connect to somebody. I don't think anybody really feels good about a conversation where two people are gossiping about a third person. Even though maybe that was an easy conversation to have, it's not really a contribution that either of you is making to the other.
You mean it's like easy to gossip on people?
Absolutely.
Or gossip about people? Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely. Or sometimes people think that being genuine and being transparent means that they can just get away with anything.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a fine line. So check your behavior, but also be yourself.
But you know, I like that, because I think it's important, and I see that we do this, is we check each other. Like if I, you know, you've told this to me, Elizabeth, like if it sounds like I'm gossiping on somebody, either a client or even people not in a business context, you've said, you know, are you gossiping? I mean, I know you've called me out on it. So I think, you know, just being mindful of cutting it out is a good thing. It's never
Definitely.
Bad. It's never good when you gossip.
Definitely. Arianna, what about you? What actionable advice could you give to our listeners?
So, again, mine is a little bit of a mix of what both Charles and Rebecca said, but I have a different perspective. Kind of coming from a recent grad, I treat every single person I meet as an opportunity, whether it's now or the future. I don't know what I'm going to end up being, and I don't know what people I graduated with or people that I meet are going to end up being. You know, maybe they'll be the CEO of Google one day. Who knows? So again, just be genuine and treat everyone and give as much advice as you can, because one day you might be the one looking for it. So
definitely. Nice. Don't dismiss people and based on their current role.
Right.
That's great. My advice, just like everything else, I think I took a little bit of a different perspective. I love that we all have different points of view. And I really thought about the importance of having processes and plans. Something that happens a lot for a lot of us is building relationships can sometimes get pushed to the back burner. You get busy doing your job. You get busy maybe just maintaining your personal relationships, and building a business network, proactively pursuing the right kinds of relationships can be difficult. And so I recommend doing things like time blocking and making sure that you set aside time to work on relationships. That will include time in the business day, as well as time potentially in mornings and in evenings. And you need to make sure that you have time for that. I also find that it's important to use systems and tools. Things like putting personal information about people in your CRM system so you know their spouse's name or whether they have pets or what their hobbies might be. It seems very cold and operational when you think about doing stuff like that, but none of our memories are perfect. And so if you can just pull up your CRM system and be reminded that maybe somebody's spouse's name or that they should have a hobby before you make that phone call or go to coffee with somebody, that gives you something to talk about, and that helps you build your relationship in a really natural way.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Elizabeth. I love it. Personally, you know, from experience in sales, and now that we're speaking to sales managers and CEOs, definitely something to practice yourself, but also to encourage your sales team to practice, is taking notes in your CRM and keeping track of those relationships and those little details that you aren't going to remember. I can remember so many times where I've gone to go back to a sales office and I couldn't remember what the children's names were. I know she has a boy and a girl, but I don't remember what the names are.
How old they are.
Or how old they are. Exactly. And running back to that CRM to help with your memory, after a while, you eventually will remember that kind of stuff. Yeah. But when relationships are new.
And another small thing that I think all of you guys do this, and I've noticed, is you put birthdays for personal or business relationships into your calendars on Outlook, so you get a reminder, which I think is a great idea because, you know, you're not always going to think to look in the CRM, but if there's a birthday, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, keep in touch with someone. Happy birthday.
Absolutely.
That's a great
practice. Like Elizabeth's idea of time blocking because that is something we get really busy. We get kind of forgetful about the people that matter. And setting aside the time in our calendar is a really good idea. I guess that's what you meant, like.
Absolutely. Yeah. We live and die by our calendars. If your calendar is not telling you to be somewhere, you are probably not there. And so if your calendar is telling you now is time to work on relationships and that's blocked out for an hour, hopefully you have some thoughts about what you're going to do in that time. And maybe you put that in the calendar invitation, but it might just be blocked out as relationship time and that you take the first few minutes to think about it and then you start making some calls, sending some emails, and just making sure you connect with people.
Nice.
And if you're listening and you need help with time management and you want to know how to time block, we've got a free ebook for that too.
Absolutely.
Just visit criteriaforsuccess.com, click on free resources, and it is right on there. Time management is the name of that ebook.
Or you can find a link to it in the notes for today's show.
Even better.
Rebecca was also being very humble and didn't mention that she wrote an entire ebook on building relationships. And so we'll include a link to that. There's going to be lots of links in today's show notes. So thank you so much for joining me today, guys. And thank you for everyone that's listening to Let's Talk Sales. You can find the notes for today's show with all of those links at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod4. Tune in next week when we'll be talking to Bobby Girantano of TGI Office Automation. Beginning in December, we'll be writing about customer service on the CFS blog. Check it out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. If you're liking the show, please tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. Ratings and reviews will help more people find the show and let us know what's working and where to improve. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success.